In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I like this time of the year. Life is bursting out everywhere. Plant bulbs we buried deep into the ground in the fall and forgot all about them are now beginning to poke their head out of under the frozen ground. Soon our yards will be green and our gardens will be splashed in colors from the blooming of crocuses and tulips and daffodils. Soon we will be wakened and greeted in the morning by the chirping of birds. Some of them will begin to sing their choruses even as early as the ungodly hour of 5 o'clock in the morning. I was up early this morning to do the finishing touches on my sermon and saw the beautiful sunrise with an array of colors splashed across the eastern sky. In the light of all that is happening in the nature and on our part of the globe, it is hard not to be caught up in the rhythm of life. As life is erupting around us, understanding scripture is becoming easier for us. Nature resembles and interprets the meaning of resurrection and life. When Jesus says, I am resurrection and life, now we can see that he meant resurrection not just at the end of times, but in the here and now, in the present. Life and resurrection are the norm. They constitute the default position. Then you begin to wonder, what is death? As we are coming close to our Lenten journey, the readings for today bring us to the valley of the dead bones and the grave of a decomposing body of Lazarus, and then challenging us to vision life and all the possibilities that holds. Having raised Lazarus, Jesus stood at the gate of Jerusalem. Now, Bethany is only 2 miles away from Jerusalem, which he is going to go into. And it is significant in John to have this story right before he enters Jerusalem, where he is going to face death on the cross. So Jesus, standing at the gate of Jerusalem and called it to move from its ways of error, its ways of darkness, and its ways of death to truth, light, and life, and challenged it by putting his own life online. Just as Jesus could see a decomposing body standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus, standing at the gate of Jerusalem, Jesus could foresee the death and devastation it awaits in a few short years of Jerusalem. Whether it is the valley of dead bones or the grave of our dear friend or the ominous vision of the city of Jerusalem in ruins, standing in the middle of it, one could hardly envision life. But there it is, challenging us, calling us to imagine, to believe, to dream, and to envision life. Because God is all about life. And we are made in the image of God. Ezekiel, both a prophet and a priest, lived and served Israelites who were in exile in Babylon about 600 years before Christ. He preached forgiveness and salvation for God's people during the hopelessness of exile. The bones in Ezekiel's vision are a symbol of a nation that was dead in sin and scattered by involuntary exile throughout the surrounding nations, separated from each other and subjugated. Israelites of Ezekiel's time were a people without hope and a people who lacked spirit. Ezekiel's ministry of visioning with people, can these bones live? It is about a future in which God would bring them together in the land, in their land, was like the dry bones coming alive. At the time when the event of raising Lazarus is said to have taken place, Jesus was a fugitive. Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish council, had decided to put away and to kill Jesus. After avoiding the authorities for some time, Jesus, despite the warnings from disciples and well-wishers, decided to head back to Jerusalem via Bethany. Danger of being caught was ever present. Challenging the death he must face, he went towards Bethany and showed to the world and the authorities his power over death. Death did not hold any power over him or what he came into the world to accomplish. At the very center of the whole narrative, Jesus made the pronouncement, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who believes in me will never die." And yet we see him in the account twice, perturbed and deeply troubled. It says Jesus wept. It shows his anger at death's power and his sorrow over its ravages on the lives of people. It is as if his grief goes so deep that it is for the whole world that Jesus is weeping, and the tragedy of human condition, which is to live in a world where again and again God is not present, at least not in the way and to the degree that man needs God. Though death is real and has great power over people, its power is limited to only those whose mind is set on the flesh. It is enslaving and oppressing hold on people was what Jesus came here to destroy. Like the people of Ezekiel's time and friends of Lazarus, we too are surrounded by death, and at times we feel overwhelmed by it. We witness death day by day in the images we watch on TV, broadcasting from Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria, and now Sudan too, to name just a few hotspots in the world. We witness people dying around the world of unnatural causes, in incidents of gun violence and suicides, or automobile accidents due to DUI and texting while driving, and a famine. We witness our planet dying a slow death due to global warming, pollution of the air we breathe and water we drink, and the large-scale depletion of non-renewable energy. We witness death day by day in opioid and heroin addictions, broken relationships, families torn apart and marriages ended, in terminal illnesses and mental diseases sapping the lives of people, their vibrancy and their productivity. We witness death when a society denies dignity and recognition to African Americans and Latinos and Asians and Native Americans, LGBT communities, immigrants and refugees as equal human beings. If we choose, we too can live half-dead lives, a life defined by death, overwhelmed and burdened by death all around us. But is that what God desires for us? No, no, no. In the book of Ezekiel, we read God rejected the notion of death, taking upper hand. And God challenged God's people to visualize life forming in the valley of dry bones. In the epistle to the Romans, Paul refuses the claim of death by saying that the new reality of life and resurrection is here. And in the gospel, Martha and Mary saw that the reality of life in the body of their brother Lazarus emerging out of the tomb after a brief absence. Life cannot be contained. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be prevented. Life and resurrection constitute the worldview we Christians are baptized into. It stands in contrast to the worldview of the domination system of the world with its death-dealing powers. It is evil incarnate and works like a parasite that thrives when God is absent in our lives. Life erupts around us in all its abundance because that is what God is and that is what God desires for each one of us. Life and resurrection are present and they are the overwhelming reality. Not just something to be hoped for in the distant future. God is calling us out of our half-dead lives. Like he called out Lazarus to experience and embrace abundant life, he offers us. Will we come out of our own tombs? And will we unbind ourselves and choose life?